ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Difference in just one's comfortable, performance of your service amongst other devotees. Right? If someone has, the principle is, one must, here gives the example, one must surrender to the spiritual master. That's not something that one can avoid. So that one does that, that is what is important. Which spiritual master someone surrenders to, that's not the important point. Right? That also is mentioned I think that the neophyte tends to think that because I am special, therefore my spiritual master becomes special because he's connected to me. Right? Does that make sense? And so therefore I may spend time trying to impress that upon others, how they're missing out because you don't have my spirit. I've actually sat and listened to disciples tell this to other disciples. You were so fortunate to have taken initiation from my spiritual master. Don't worry, he's in town now, and now you can hear directly from him. So now you can make your life fortunate. Right? Does that make sense? So these are important things. So this is, one has to be very careful of this neophyte mentality and be able to distinguish principle and detail. Principle always applies. Always. It's universal. Detail is time, place, and circumstance. Right? The Vedas, they have rules. And those rules need to be followed. But what needs to be followed is the principle, or the basic point, basic principle, that Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in Rupa Goswami is stressing on. The basic principle has to be followed. So that means then you have to apply it time, place, and circumstance to the individual. Right? That is Vedic. Unfortunately, many unscrupulous persons try to say that Vedic is rules and regulations, therefore not practical. And modern is practical because it considers time, place, and circumstance. But this is a gross misunderstanding. Vedic means you have a standard, you have a principle that needs to be applied, and therefore you find the means to apply it. Having applied it, and it works for the individual in the situation, then you can call it Vedic. And if you simply applied a rule, it didn't apply, no one was satisfied with it, do not claim that, yes, I followed the Vedic rule. You missed the whole point altogether. So we see here is that we've been conditioned by the modern concept of duality, that there are two distinct paths. One, that of rules that are simply grossly applied, that the same rule applies to everyone, right, the same detail, and therefore minimal persons are satisfied. Or we have the nice liberal path, which is so considerate of the individual needs, so sensitive to the individual. But if we notice in there was no consideration of any standards. Does that make sense? A liberal person has no fixed standards. It militates against their position as liberal. Right? Conservative means I have standards. I institutionally apply them. And the other is to avoid institutional application of rules on individuals, which therefore causes so much pain and disturbance. We just deal with the individual. We're so broad-minded. We're so liberal. But if you notice, both are totally faulty. At the same time, both have an essential principle that's important. Right? The conservatives, that they have standards. situation to the individual, that's important. So taking those two together, that is Vedic. So most people's understanding what Vedic is grossly misdirected by people basically who do not want to see the Vedic principles flourish. Because if they flourish, that means I have standards, right? Right? Liberals do not like standards. Conservatives love standards, but you know, they have, you know, everybody, you know, square, you know, round peg, square hole. It's going to fit. You know, like that. So this is the problem. So the proper thing is the Vedic means it, the rule will fit, but you have to find how it does. That requires intelligence. Right? Applying it just institutionally, that's easy. Any idiot can do it. Right? And generally that's the problem. Because if we apply it like that, then nobody's satisfied. Does that make sense? Right? So therefore, if anybody has been through, you know, his kind of application of Vedic Varnashram in the past, and one was not very satisfied, then one can understand that, don't worry, you didn't go through what was Vedic, because the people who applied it didn't know what they were talking about. Does that make sense? Because Vedic means you start with the Shastra. There are four steps. You start with Shruti. Unfortunately, we don't have to worry about all the steps, because Srila Prabhupada has already combined many of them for us. You start with the Shruti, which is the Veda. Right? The rule has to be approved by the Veda. This then is given in more specific application to a particular situation in what is called the Smriti. Right? Shruti is what is heard, the Veda. Smriti is the conversations of the great sages. Right? Then, that is then applied by the great personalities of the Acharyas. Right? So then, according to their direction, how Shruti and Smriti is followed, then we apply that in our life. And when it fits, that's Vedic. Does that make sense? In other words, if you apply something in your life successfully according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then you can say that's Vedic. Anything less than that is not Vedic, so don't let people fool you who think they know what Vedic is. Whether they're pro-Vedic or anti-Vedic, doesn't matter. Generally neither of them know what they're talking about. Because the pro-Vedic are conservatives who won't apply to the individual, and the anti-Vedic are liberals who actually have no idea what they're talking about when they discuss Vedic. Like that. I'm talking top down. I'm not missing anyone out here. Like that. You can be big, you can be around 30 years, you can have PhDs, I don't care if you don't know what you're talking about. So I'm taking a very clean sweep when I'm making this statement. Very clean sweep. Because Srila Prabhupada knew how to apply it. And everyone was satisfied from every walk of life, from every status. No matter who they were satisfied. That is Vedic. So Srila Prabhupada could do it. That's what the legacy he left us to do. So, that's the point. It didn't fit, it didn't work. I mean, he didn't really understand what problem meant. But that's not a problem. Simply study it from this understanding of the difference between detail and principle. Right? That's the mistake. That's how we got into this discussion. Right? Is that the principles and details, we understand that there is such a concept, that is what will make it easy for us to apply. Does that make sense? You know, one has to chant japa. You know, one has to chant 16 rounds. So the mom is with the kid. Very difficult to take care, very difficult to chant. Kids are always dirty, moving around, this, that. you have to find some way. So saying that, no, she's going to sit down in the temple in front of the deities and chant 16 rounds without getting up and moving, it won't work. Right? The point is to be associated with the holy name for that amount of time. That's the principle. The highest grade of association that you can get, that's desirable. But it's whatever is available. Right? Just because it works for you doesn't mean it works for the next person. So you have to find something that works for them. You know, the mom may have to, you know, have a clicker and chant her japa and take care of the kid. Whatever, it works. Or she chants them at night. The baby takes rest, then she chants in the afternoon. Say, no, no, but, you know, morning time is the best time to chant the japa. Of course. But that's not available. Right? Time, place, and circumstance means what's available. Right? Circumstance means what you have. It doesn't mean something else. Does that make sense? So like that, we have to be able to apply things. So this is here. So Rupa Goswami wants to get into detail, very principles here. So these always apply. You see that Srila Prabhupada emphasized the most the principles, because they would always apply. They're very simple, straightforward. Anyone can understand them. You can teach them to children. But that doesn't mean that does not mean that it's simplistic. Right? We have this idea that sophisticated is superior. But it's not necessarily. If the person is sophisticated, then it needs to be applied in a sophisticated way. Someone is very simple, it's applied in a simple way. In any case, the principle always applies. Okay. So Sanatana Goswami put together this Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's an encyclopedia. Some people think it's like a specific detail on how to do worship and this and that. No, it's an encyclopedia of worship. So everything is described, how worship can be done, what is the reason behind it, who's qualified, who exactly, what you're exactly you're dealing with. And then different options that you can use according to, you know, which Veda you're from or which Pancharatra you're using, like this. So he'll give an example like that. So that's detail. The detail of the initiation ceremony, those things Rupa Goswami is not going to get involved in. What he's going to get involved in is that you have to accept the spiritual master. Does that make sense? How this goes. So the 64 items are like that. These are things that are to be applied. How to apply them, then you see. But we'll have a tendency to take these as details, right? 64 of them, so much detail. No, no, this is just so much principle. Detail, that will be applied then afterwards. Is there any questions on this? All right, so that's clear principle and detail. Right? And, you know, reasons why we don't actually take it seriously. Either we don't know it exists, we actually can't tell the difference between them, or we have some motive, therefore we can't see. Does that make sense? Right? The maturity means we can distinguish it. Or at least we're making the attempt. Maybe we haven't distinguished, but if it's pointed out that there is our difficulty is because of this, then we're mature enough to therefore try to contemplate it and see, okay, so then how to, you know, improve the quality of my understanding, improve the quality of my approach. Is that okay? Yeah. So next paragraph. And we see it here, Srila Prabhupada is writing this, so he's talking about what Srila Rupa Goswami is written. So that's why he'll say he mentions here. He mentions the basic principles as follows. 1. Accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. 2. Becoming initiated by the spiritual master and learning how to discharge devotional service from him. 3. Obeying the orders of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. 4. following the footsteps of great acharyas, teachers under the direction of the spiritual master. 5. Inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. 6. Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This means that when we are engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, we must be prepared to give up something which we may not like to give up, but also we have to accept something which we may not like to accept. 7. Residing in a sacred place of pilgrimage like Dwarka or Vrindavan. 8. Accepting only what is necessary or dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. 9. Observing the fasting day on Ekadasi. And 10. Worshipping sacred trees like the bamboo. These 10 items are preliminary necessities for beginning the discharge of devotional service and regular principles. In the beginning, if a neophyte devotee observes the above-mentioned 10 principles, surely he will quickly make great good advancement. So then later on we mentioned, out of the 20, the first 3, namely accepting the shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from him and serving him with respect and reverence are the most important. So here he's given these are preliminary. Yes, preliminary necessities. So these first ones, so accepting the spiritual master, this is the most important. We have to remember here is that even though it's Vaidhi sadhana, there's never at any point that the devotional process is not personal, that it's not based on personal relationship. And so it's just a matter of how the relationship, what is the inspiration for it. Right? Beginning, we're worshipping God because He is God. You know, He's the boss. You know, we don't do it, then there's some problem. Right? But the actual goal that one's trying to get to is one is worshiping Krishna out of affection for him, out of love for him. Right? So the process never doesn't have those elements within it. Though it may not be as obvious to us, but it's always there. So then these accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the spirit, bona fide spiritual master. So what does this mean, and then becoming initiated, learning how to follow this devotional service, and obeying the orders of faith and devotion. So then, one comes through the process of devotional service. In coming to this devotional process, one associates with the devotees. With time, we start to make distinction between the various devotees that are there. Then we also observe there the preachers, the senior Vaishnavas, who are training us in this devotional process. So then, of that, then someone from amongst this group, they start to become prominent. Right? Preachers that we especially like to hear from, like this. By that association, then eventually, then from someone becomes very prominent, we take initiation from them. Right? So first, taking shelter means you're taking shelter of the instruction. The most important element is the instruction. So siksha is always more important than diksha. Right? The diksha process is so that we take very seriously siksha. Right? That we're going to take instruction seriously, then there is initiation. Right? So that means that the relationship with the guru is based on siksha, not something else. Right? If that's understood, it makes everybody's life a lot easier. Right? If the spiritual master is answering questions on your understanding and application of Krishna consciousness, that's a lot easier rather than, well, you know, should I live in Sydney or should I live in Melbourne? If I live in Sydney, should I live in, you know, Crow's Nest or should I live in Darwin? And if there, you know, should I live in this house or that house? Should I get a two-story house or one-story house? We laugh. But a lot of spiritual masters have to put up with this.
Yeah.
Right? Because once they're Diksha Guru, then, you know, Diksha means whatever question on anything you know, should I blow my right nose or left nose? You know, I should ask it. You know what I'm saying? If you're surrendered, you do everything under the instruction of the Spirit. Right? Does that make sense? But what we're trying to do is understand devotional service, how to apply it in our life. So that means if we're contemplating that application, then we will have actual questions, real questions. If we're not contemplating, then we have sentiment, which is good. Sentiment is important, but sentiment must be combined with intelligence. That's the meaning of Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti means you're using your intelligence, right? So the natural sentiment and intelligence combined, that's Vaidhi Bhakti. If it's only sentiment, then, oh Guru Maharaj, you know, please give some, you know, special, unique instruction to me that no one else has, you know, kind of like, you know, gossip, you know. I got something that no one else has, you know. You know what I'm saying? So this kind of stuff you have to be very, very careful of. So many times you get that, you know, it's like, you know, so, you know, the relationship, the siksha relationship. So then, yeah, so give me some special siksha. What do you mean? I've just been talking for the last 20 minutes. What do you mean by that? No, but I mean something just for me. You know, but what do you mean? Devotional service applies to everybody, so what's the problem? You know what I'm saying? So there's always this sense of that possession. That, so that's the mind. That's the sentiment. Nice, but not necessarily important. If it comes naturally, fine. But if it's forced, it's not real. Does that make sense? So you have to be very, very careful about that. That balance then. So then in this, we also see is then you have the element of the levels of Siksha Guru, so it's just very clear, is that there's three levels as given by Srila Haridas Thakur and Harinam Chaitanya. You have the Adi Guru, which means the founder Acharya, so for us that means Srila Prabhupada. Then you have the Sadguru, which means those who are taking responsibility to take you back to Godhead. So the Diksha Guru is automatically in that category, but it also may include other Siksha Gurus if you have such a relationship, but that may or may not be there. Right? Then you have the preachers, that's the third level. So that's anybody, senior person who is giving you instruction, you know, for your specific situation, specific questions, specific like this, that they come, and because you're part of the mission, therefore they spend their time giving you those kind of answers. Does that make sense? But it may not be that they're specifically committed to you. You may have a nice personal close relationship with them, you may not. You know, does that make sense? But in any case, the instruction goes on. So, you know, your temple presidents, any other senior devotees in the zone, your traveling preachers, anyone like that, other gurus, anybody automatically, then it means who is considered senior and preaching and giving instruction is in that category. Who you have relationship with, you know, who are you closer with, that's individual. Does that make sense? So those three categories we all have. And to have all three categories is normal. To not have all three categories is not normal. Right? And to think that I only have my Diksha Guru and all others I reject because otherwise I'll be unchaste, that's called neophyte. That's a neophyte idea. All it is I am unable to actually deal with very many kinds of relationships because of God only knows why. You know, my mother ate too many pretzels or she was pregnant. There's some reason why I can't do this. But I won't say it like that because that would, you know, I would step down socially for that. So therefore, I will bring out this so-called Vedic idea and say it's unchaste. You have your Diksha Guru and other Siksha Gurus who you appreciate their classes and this and that. Oh, that's unchaste. That's a formula for disaster. Does that make sense? Formula for disaster. Because it's meant for people who want to live their life alone. Right? Those who have natural, social, understanding, interaction, they can accommodate many relationships. Like you see in an Indian family, they're like 50 relationships, and they all have names. You know, they all have names. You know, if it's on the mother's side, it's this name, it's on the father's side, it's that name. It's like, you know, they all have distinct relationships. This one you're friendly with, that one it's formal with. You know, this one you joke and laugh with, that one, you know, there's no question of ever doing that. And so, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the point, the family, right? So to say, just to put it into perspective, okay, you know, my grandfather, yes, that's cool, my father, that's cool, but, you know, uncles, cousins, if I interact with them or have any faith or listen to them, that would be unchaste to my father, right? Is that how it works? No, it's his family, so it doesn't work like that. So that's also one of those neophyte pitfalls that we might fall into. Very destructive. And meant for those who like to be alone. Right? In fact, that might even be the reason that people say, oh, you're being unchaste if you do that, because those persons themselves don't know what relationships are and are very alone. You probably check their marriage is not going well, you know, if they even have one. You know, their relationship with their children was not going well, other things like that. You can see direct links between those who make those comments and their position, their actual social skills and position. Does this make sense? And I'm saying all this for your using your intelligence, making discrimination. You use these things against people, I would be very, very how you say, dissatisfied. Does that make sense? These things are not being used against each other. Okay, then becoming initiated. So the first is this shelter, that is the Dharma Pradarshan Guru. Then taking initiation and learning how to discharge devotional service. Obeying the order with faith and devotion. This is very important because they're representing Krishna. So as we saw before, it doesn't matter who it is. They're connected to Prabhupada, they're properly following the Vaishnava community and satisfied with them, then that's good enough for us. Right? It works because you're following Prabhupada's instructions, Prabhupada's directions. And we have somebody to make sure that we're doing it. Right? That's the basic principle. That's what's going on. Right, so we're happy. Not that the, you know, grass is greener on the other side of the fence. That's not so important. Sometimes. I always wondered about that. Why the grass looks greener. Then, because it does. If you ever looked on the other side, it's definitely greener than on your side. Because the other one, you're looking from the side. Right? You can't see the ground. Well, on your side, you're looking straight down. You're seeing the ground. You know, so it actually does look greener, right? You know, it gets the cows every time. And wherever they are, it's greener over there. Okay. Then faith and devotion, because it's coming in the parampara, it's coming in that line. So faith, this is not blind faith because we've taken it through the process of siksha. We've heard the instructions, you know, we've seen that these instructions apply in our life, they work. Therefore we're taking initiation. It's not a blind process, right? One's supposed to be very aware, right? Self-realization means you're aware of the self, so it should be increasing that. So that means you should be more and more aware of what's going on. Does that make sense? Yeah. Right? Not more and more ask less questions. No. Questions are supposed to be there. Right? But intelligent questions. Right? Not like, you know, what time is breakfast? Or, you know, stuff like that. Not those kind of questions. Then following in the footsteps of the great acharyas under the direction of the spiritual master. Very, very important. Is we're always supposed to be following the footsteps of the great acharyas, but under the direction of our own acharya. what is the perspective he gives, that's how you approach the previous acharyas. Otherwise, because they may be presenting things for a particular time, place, and circumstance. Does that make sense? They are an acharya, so they are they themselves are working on these basic principles as given by Rupa Goswami. But according to their particular audience or particular presentation, they are working according to a specific detail. Jiva Goswami, he is trying to give, you know, the Braja Bhakti, but his disciples happen to be a bit too, you know, stuck on moralism, so they can't accommodate that Radha and Krishna are in a parakeya relationship. Right? So therefore, that relationship is in rasa. Right? But in tattva, you know, in the straight knowledge of straight philosophy, then, you know, Radharani is Krishna's expansion, is his energy. Right? So they're non-different. So, you know, they're eternally together. But in pastime it appears, so therefore you put the emphasis on the tattva. Actually, it's God and his energies. But for pastime they're taking this position just for fun. You know, but actually they're eternally married. And then to throw on top of that, if some aren't convinced, then there's, you know, occasions where Brahma comes and does the marriage between Radha and Krishna, or Lalita performs a marriage like this. So in this way you can say, well, actually they are married, just no one knows about it, but we don't talk about it, so it's more fun this way. Does that make sense? That's a detail, just because of the particular moralistic purview of his disciples. So then to say that Jiva Goswami is speaking different than the other acharyas, that's a great mistake. Not understanding the point, because he very obviously switches it from rasa to tattva. Right? He never changes that attitude. Does that make sense? So any difference you see in the acharyas on their viewpoint, then if you're seeing a difference, that means you don't actually see what's going on. So it's not with them, it's you. That's why you have to approach them from the viewpoint of your spiritual master. Because there's a purpose to applying it in that way. Does that make sense? So therefore, reading the books of the previous acharyas has to be based on what Srila Prabhupada says. If you find something contradictory, one, either stop reading, or two, figure it out from the perspective that Srila Prabhupada gives you. Now you do that. You just figure it out according to how the acharya says it. It's not what Rupa Goswami says. Remember, this is Rupa Goswami's words. So if you don't do it in this way, you are not following Rupa Goswami. So if you're saying, well, the previous acharyas say like this, Prabhupada says something different, therefore I take the previous acharyas, you are not a follower of Rupa Goswami. Don't joke, don't kid yourself that you ever are. Because you always have to remember is the Vrajavasis, the whole point is that surrendering to Krishna through a particular personality. Right? That's how Krishna knows us. Right? You're in a family. And how do you fit in that family? Because of the specific connection you have. You say, oh, I'm not worried about that connection. I'm in his family because of, you know, my connection with my, you know, second uncle, like that. Then, do you think the grandfather's going to buy that? No. Because you're in his family because you're the son of his son. You understand? So you can think whatever you like. You know, it's a free world. But the Vrajavasis, they are people. And mental speculation is not what they function on. Does that make sense? You surrender to people, you follow people. Right? That's what they're looking for, because they are people. You can't surrender and follow people here, they're not interested. You can't live with devotees, can't work with devotees, can't interact with devotees. The Vrajavasis aren't interested. Because in Braj, there are lots of devotees. You know? So you won't like it there. Right? Does that make sense?
True.
We're dealing with real people. Right? So they want real relationships. They're not interested in this modern junk. You know, neurotic relationships. They're not interested in that. They're interested in real relationships. Real surrender. Real commitment. That's what they're interested in. That's why it's so attractive. Because it's real. Inquiring from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So whatever one's position, one's trying to move forward, that's the inquiry. Right? Learning to discharge devotional service, he's telling you, and your questions are going to be how to advance. You know, not about Mercedes-Benz or, you know, all different things like that. Does that make sense? That's not the point. Okay. Being prepared to give up anything material for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality. Got it. So giving up something we may not like to or accept something we may not. That's relationship. Right? That's the point. We think, oh, rules and regulations. That makes it very easy, right? We reduce it down to dry rules, then it makes it very easy for us to try to reject it. But the point is it's something that satisfies Krishna or doesn't. Right? Does that make sense? That's what we're looking at. Is that? But in this, prepared to give up material. Material means, one, we can take it as something grossly observable. That's one way of doing it. But the other is, it's the perception of it. Right? So it's not necessarily that the material item has to be given up. It's our material perception of it that definitely needs to be given up. Because that's what makes things material, is how we view it. Right? The car is there, you use it for Krishna, then it's a good thing. You don't use it for Krishna, it's not a good thing. So what's the problem? The car? Or our mentality? That's always very important. Right? And we shouldn't be applying, you know, the same point as we were saying before. This neophyte idea is that, you know, because it's attachment, that's the problem. No, that's not the problem. The problem is it connected to Krishna? Is it not connected to Krishna? Right? That's not the problem. The Pandavas are married, they don't have a problem. Because their family life is connected to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So here then, it may be gross, it may be our mentality. Like that. But in any case, it's definitely going to be mentality. So residing in a sacred place of pilgrimage like Dwarka or Vrindavan, because the potency of the Dham is very great. Just by being there, one is in the spiritual world, whether you perceive it or not. Does that make sense? Like here, it's either you have to make your house into, you know, a temple, you come here to the temple. While you're here, then the spiritual potency, even if you forget that you're in the temple, still it has effect. Right? Because the deity is here, the devotees are here, the chanting of the holy name is here, like that. Does that make sense? But as soon as you walk out the front door, yes, you are back in Sydney. Right? So that's the difficulty. Right? So while in the Dham, even you walk out of the temple, you're still in the Dham. Right? But in any case, at least that much of the Dham has to be there. Association with the temple, making your house as spiritual as possible. In this way, you get this benefit. And if you have any opportunity that you can take advantage of residing in the Dham, you know, temporarily or long term, then one should always take that. It's always useful. Right? Because there's something special about being there. Right? If it's always, it is the Lord's place, His pastimes are always going on there, whether we see it or not. Right? Accepting only what is necessary, or dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. So, in other words, here again, it's your, how you say, gross observable things, or your cultural interactions or economic interactions or whatever it has to be dealt with. You know, so on the platform of Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, how much you have to accept, only that much you accept. Right? So that's going to be very individual. Someone requires more, then they'll deal with more. Someone requires less, they'll deal with less. But don't accept more than what you actually have to deal with. Right? You should be able to explain it. Right? Does that make sense? You have to be able to explain all the things in your life. What are all the gizmos and gadgets and, you know, little bunches of dried flowers and little things and little candles with faces on them and all that kind of stuff. You know, you have to explain why you have them. If you can't explain them, then the question is just why do you have them?
Yeah.
It's not a problem that you have them. It's a problem if you can't explain the connection to Krishna. That's where the problem is. Right? That's the problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's the point. So it doesn't matter if someone's very sophisticated or someone has a very broad range of needs. That's not a problem. Right? So we can't say that, oh, this one is in Maya. We're not saying Yudhishthira Maharaj being, or Ambarish Maharaj are in Maya because they're emperors of the world. Right? Does that ever come up as the point? Right? No. Like that. So that's not a problem. That's not the problem. The problem is whatever you require. Siddhanta Deepa didn't require anything, therefore he had nothing. Right? At the same time as then when Krishna gave him more opulence than Indra, then he used that in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Of course, everyone's looking more for the opulence of Indra, engaging Krishna's service, right? That's why you come from your ancestral village here to the great city of Sydney, right? And so, therefore, you have to have some good explanations, right? Not just it's obvious everybody's looking for money, right? That's there. The pigeons are out there looking for stuff also, but that doesn't make them anything special. And someone just told me the other day that locally they're known as flying rats. You know, so be very, very careful. You know, otherwise the definitions that might fall back on oneself might not be very, how do you say, dignified or. Like that. In other words, you need money, fine. But you have to be able to explain it. Not just everybody else is doing it, so what? Lending is there also. Well, you know, how come you're running towards the cliff? Well, the guy in front is. Everybody else is. What's the problem? Okay, cool. Okay, so only as far as necessary. Not beyond, right? But the point is if you need, fine. But if you don't need, why have it? Right? That's the idea. Observing the fasting day on Ekadasi. So then Ekadasi then is a very important day because it's very dear to the Lord. Like that. Then by following that, then the devotion naturally increases. So then, but this means, you know, in a simple way, it means no grains, no beans. You know, that's what it means. So then, how elaborately you want to follow it, that is the detail, remember. Basic principle is your fasting on that day. No grains, no beans. Which means sacred trees like the banyan tree. So then, of all the trees, then the most sacred is Tulsi. So they're worshiping Tulsi. Then all the worship of all these other trees is already taken care of because she is in control of the forest, right? So Vrindadevi is in control of Vrindavan. So there's plenty of companion trees in Vrindavan. You know, you have Vamsi Bhakti, you have Shringar Bhakti, you have so many, Bandiravan, like all these different things. They're all these banyans. So by worshiping her, then all that is automatically taken care of.
on the same topic today morning, you're saying something about the mechanics of yukta vairagya.
The mechanics of yukta vairagya.
What is that?
What are the mechanics of yukta vairagya? Means this would be basically yukta vairagya is this accepting only what is necessary or dealing with the material world only as far as necessary. Yukta vairagya means that you're connecting material it means material items, material situations, material interactions to Krishna. So that's the yukta, is that it's connected, but it's connected to Krishna. Vairagya is that it's being done for Krishna's satisfaction. Right? That always has to be remembered. So yukta vairagya also, one has to be very careful not to misapply. You know, just saying it's connected, anyone can say anything. Right? That's easy. Right? You get a group of people that say the same thing, it makes it easy. But it doesn't mean that it's real. The whole idea is devotional service supposed to be real. It's mentioned as vastava vastu, the really real thing. Right? Does that make sense? So that is what, that is Krishna consciousness. That's what is actually, you mean that's dated. You know, it's like, you say it's real, but it actually has to be real. Right? So it can't just be that, I mean, you're just giving it, just saying that it is, that's not good enough. Because if it actually is, you can explain it. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the idea, is that anything can be connected to Krishna, but one actually has to know what one is doing. Otherwise, how do you know it's connected? You understand? Like that. You can be using it, but if it's not connected, then it's not yukta vairagya. Right? If you're using it, it is connected, it's yukta vairagya. Is that okay?
Yes.
The person I've approached for initiation through Diksha has said to me, let us build a really strong Shiksha relationship for a year. What would be your suggestion in building a very strong Shiksha relationship?
Means building, how to build a strong Shiksha relationship. Means what instructions they give you follow. Even if it's only one, we don't hear the huge amounts of instructions from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave to Srila Prabhupada. A few instructions and then he builds on that. So, in other words, what instruction you get, you contemplate that, you try to see it from various angles and various applications into your life. Right? And the more you do that, the more then you're able to apply, the more realization you get. Because the point is if the sexual relationship is strong, then you actually have a relationship. Otherwise, if it's only sentiment, then, you know, I've seen that someplace. I remember one initiating spiritual master, he said when he would go to this particular yatra, he had a very strict rule, he would never smile at anybody. Because as soon as you smile at them, you're the spiritual master. Right? So he just wouldn't smile. You just go in there very poker faced the whole time and all that. And that way, very rare he'd pick up disciples, but if they were willing to listen to instructions. Because the problem is then you smile at them, always so nice and all that. And then, you know, first initiation comes and still one smile, second initiation comes, and then instructions start. And then it's like, what happened? What happened? You know? Like that. So you don't want to fall prey to that. It shouldn't be based on anything else.
But what it is.
Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj.
And instruction just needs to be even one thing. Not that each time you're getting more and more. No. It's not like it's not like the Romans eating lunch just for eating, right? It's a matter of your hearing for nourishment. So whatever you've heard, that's good, that's taken. Right?
Thank you.
Maharaj, sometimes initiated devotees try to push to the other aspiring devotees to take initiation from their Guru Maharaj. So
that's what we mentioned in the beginning. Because I am special. Therefore, my guru who's connected to me is special. Therefore, if you take initiation from him, that way you'll also be special. aren't I so kind?
We should not push.
No. This is for neophytes. This is for really gross neophytes.
That's my
dogma.
As you mentioned, we should actually consume as much as we are required. And
yes.
If it's more than that, it should be explainable. But sometimes my mind sort of makes me confused or drags me to things which probably is not necessarily required for me.
But
so how do
you have an intelligence aspect to explain it.
But in the beginning level as a neophyte,
that's not an excuse. You're supposed to be, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Well, why do you make a business investment? Just because your mind said? Okay. You're in control, so just don't play that game with the mind. You can explain it. Point is, we're afraid to actually hear the answers. As soon as we hear them, we find out they may be too stupid, and then we're attached to whatever it is. Okay.
We're talking about the difference between the principle and the detail.
Right.
And in one of the topics, you mentioned that four principles, and which were in place when Prabhupada was here, and then shortly afterwards, they may not have been adhered to in accordance with the strict way of principle. But is it not also a principle that even though that may not have taken place, is it not also a principle that the GBC body as a whole should also be accepted as the...
Yes. No, these are there. These are details. These are principles that goes on. What we're talking about is people rejecting, Vedic culture or, more surrendered devotional service than that because of a bad experience, because the persons who were applying it maybe didn't do it so well. So the point is there's no need to reject it because of that. Because that's not actually the problem, because we'll say, oh, well, that's Krishna consciousness, or that's temple life, or that's Vedic, but that's not. That's just a misapplication by someone. It may have been very well intended, that misapplication. So therefore, that's why we go on, and find, well, what is the proper application? What actually works for me? What situation is best? So if these people, a certain group of persons always misapply it, find a situation in which you don't have to be involved. But at the same time, as your devotional service is still dynamic. Does that make sense? Yes. Yeah. Last one.
I just want to know, these four sampradayas are considered as a detailed application of
the... These four sampradayas considered as a detailed application
of the principle of Krishna consciousness?
Of the principle of Krishna consciousness. In one sense you could say, yes, worship of Vishnu is the most important. So therefore, there's a detailed application of four sampradayas. But since the four sampradayas are going to different places, we wouldn't exactly say they're detailed. The point is, you want to go to Braj, that's our line. The other ones are not going to get you to Braj. They just won't. Okay. That's not what they're interested in. It's just a different place. Spiritual world is unlimited, so all aspects and ways of surrendering to Krishna are there. So then these sampradayas open the doors to get access to those places. But if you want access to Braj, then that's our line. Okay. So we're in here.
Haribol.
If a senior devotee gives us an instruction that's not necessarily Shastra or what Prabhupada wants, what should we do?
What's your connection with them?
They're like a temple president or
something. Just tell them you don't quite understand. What's your doubt?